Hello, and warm greetings to our listeners of Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Program. My name is Ben Park. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Broadcast. Why don't we begin with reading the Bible together? Our first program, Let's Read the Bible, will help us to listen to His words and teach us how to read on our own time. Now we have a devotional program for teenagers called Unlock. Our next program, Children's Bible Drama, will open our imagination world to portray characters in the Bible. And last, but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will wrap up the broadcast. I hope you have a blessed time rejoicing in God throughout this journey, and please invite your friends to begin this awesome journey together. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I'm the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. The Apostle Paul, in his last letter to his beloved spiritual son, Timothy, writes about what will be happening in the last days. This is in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says that people will be sinful and do such things as love themselves, love money, brag, and be proud of themselves. Paul urges Timothy to stay away from these sinful people and to end relationships with them. He then gives a warning to Timothy that there will be consequences to face when he tries to break relationships with ungodly people who belong to the world. It is written in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be treated badly. The Apostle Paul speaks about the persecution from the world for those who try to live according to the scriptures and try to live obedient lives according to the word of Jesus Christ. The same was spoken by Jesus numerous times. Shall we open to the book of John and read chapter 15, verses 18 and 19? It says, "My disciples, does the world hate you? Remember that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you like one of its own. But you do not belong to the world. I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." Jesus clearly gives us the reason why the world persecutes believers. It is because we don't belong to the world, but we do belong to Jesus. Beloved listeners, many hardships will follow you and me when we try to live obediently according to the word of God in this world. When we face such challenges, what should we do? Should we make excuses and give up because it is too hard to live as a believer of Jesus Christ? After the Apostle Paul warns Timothy of the persecution that will come to believers, he encourages Timothy as it is written in the first half of verse 14 in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. "But I want you to continue to follow what you have learned and are sure about. Even when we are being persecuted and suffering from the world, we must live obedient lives with strong faith in Jesus Christ according to the word of God that we learned and are sure about. This is because it will lead us to an eternal life. I hope that we all remember this message and keep our faith in Christ in any circumstance." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for telling us about the hardships and challenges that will come our way in this world as we live as believers. Please help us not to fear when we face difficulties. Just like the scriptures which we studied today, please help us to live by faith in your word that we learned and are sure of so we can reach salvation. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Dylan E. from California will read the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17 from the NIRV translation. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Dylan Yee. I'm 11 years old and I live in California. Today I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Let's read the Bible. "Here is what I want you to know. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will love themselves. They will love money. They will brag and be proud. They will tear others down. They will not obey their parents. They won't be thankful or holy. They won't love others. They won't forgive others. They will tell lies about people. They will be out of control. They will be wild. They will hate what is good. They will turn against their friends. They will act without thinking. They will think they are better than others. They will love what pleases them instead of loving God. They will act as if they were serving God, but what they do will show that they have turned their backs on God's power. Have nothing to do with these people. They are the kind who trick their way into the homes of some women. These women are ready to believe anything, and they take control over these women. These women are loaded down with sins. They give in to all kinds of evil desires. They are always learning, but they are never able to come to know the truth. Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses in the same way the teachers I'm talking about oppose the truth. Their minds are twisted. As far as the faith is concerned, God doesn't accept them. They won't get very far, just like Jannes and Jambres. Their foolish ways will be clear to everyone. But you know all about my teaching. You know how I live and what I live for. You know about my faith and love. You know how patient I am. You know I haven't given up. You know that I was treated badly. You know that I suffered greatly. You know what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. You know how badly I have been treated, but the Lord saved me from all my troubles. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be treated badly. Evil people and pretenders will go from bad to worse. They will fool others, and others will fool them. But I want you to continue to follow what you have learned and are sure about. You know the people you learned it from. You have known the Holy Scriptures ever since you were a little child. They are able to teach you how to be saved by believing in Christ Jesus. God has breathed life into all Scripture. It is useful for teaching us what is true. It is useful for correcting our mistakes. It is useful for making our lives whole again. It is useful for training us to do what is right. By using Scripture, the servant of God can be completely prepared to do every good thing. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting me read your word. Today's passage I read today taught us a good lesson. It taught us that we are now fighting a spiritual war, so give us the power to win the war. And there will be times when we will be persecuted, like in verse 11. Also not listening to others and falling into sin. And we are weak. We need your help every single minute. So please help us, God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
In the blood of the Lamb, are you washed?
Are you washed?
following is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be 2 episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
Have you ever waited a long time for a prayer to be answered? Hey there, I'm Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. It can be discouraging when one of our prayers isn't immediately answered. Maybe you know what that feels like. So, as a bit of encouragement today, our story is about a woman in the Bible who can definitely relate to that feeling of waiting for an answer. Maybe you've heard of this awesome lady. Our story is called Elizabeth, Mother of the Messenger, and it was written by Cindy Lee. Have you ever wondered if God is listening to your prayers? Or felt like everyone else has had their prayers answered but you? You are not alone. In Luke 1, we meet Elizabeth, a descendant of Aaron who was married to Zechariah, a Jewish priest. They were devout worshipers who had been married many years, praying and longing for a child. But now they were too old to have children. Elizabeth must have experienced so much anxiety and rejection because descendants were such an important part of her culture. But God was working his good kingdom purposes. At just the right time, the Lord gave Zechariah and Elizabeth a miraculous child. That child was John the Baptist, the chosen messenger of the Messiah. He would lead others toward Jesus, the only salvation from sin and death. God's answer to Elizabeth and Zechariah's prayers was extraordinary. Elizabeth did not have an easy life. The shame of being childless for so long, a doubting husband who lost the ability to speak for several months, and being the mother of a child who was God's messenger and would one day die a terrible death. But God heard her prayers, and he was at work through it all. So whether God answers your prayers with a no, yes, or wait, you can know he will answer, and he is working his good kingdom purposes to bring salvation to all who put their trust in him. Luke 1:13 says, "But the angel said, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John.'" So let's talk about this. Have you waited a long time for a prayer to be answered? As Christians, what are some promises we can rest in as we wait for our prayers to be answered? If you want to look up some, check out Romans 8:26 through 30, Hebrews 4:14 through 16, and 1 Peter 5:7. The story of Elizabeth is such an important one. I encourage you to read the whole thing on your own today by checking out Luke chapter 1 to keep God's word alive in your life. Thanks so much for being here for this episode of Unlocked, a production of Keys for Kids Ministries. Keys for Kids is completely listener and reader supported, which means we depend on the generosity of people just like you to continue in our mission of igniting a passion for Christ in kids, teens, and their families. Even a gift of $5 goes a long way. If that's something you think you can help us out with, you can make your best gift at unlocked.org/donate. And that's it for me. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live your life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here is the second episode of Unlocked.
What are some examples of good works that demonstrate faith in Christ? Hey there, Andrew here, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Faith and works. Two topics that are confusing imperatives of a relationship with God. And when I say confusing, I mean confusing. Jonathan Fuller, our author today, is going to shed some light on both subjects, though, in our devotional called James, A Faith That Works. By grace alone, through faith alone. Many believers describe the how of salvation in these terms, based on Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. If a person places their faith in Jesus, that person receives forgiveness of their sins by the grace of God. Good works cannot add to or grant the forgiveness that comes by grace alone through faith alone. However, when reading the book of James, it seems like James is teaching the opposite. James says things like faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. So, what does James mean? Well, it's important to recognize that James was a pastor. His letter is written a lot like a sermon, with a heavy emphasis on practical application. One of the major themes in the book of James is the importance of works. James teaches us that a believer is meant to vindicate their faith through their works. To vindicate means to prove something is genuine or real. In other words, a believer demonstrates they have a genuine, living, and active faith through the good works they do. Good works can't earn salvation, but they are meant to be the result of salvation. Last summer, I planted a garden for the first time. Out of my 4 pepper plants, 3 produced tasty peppers. However, one of my plants never produced any peppers. In fact, over time, that 4th plant lost its leaves, became brown, and died. The fruit from 3 of my pepper plants was visible proof that those plants were alive and growing. The lack of fruit from the other plant demonstrated that it had, in fact, died. For believers, this works the same way. If you don't do good works, what's the difference between your faith and a dead faith? In Christ, we're not saved by good works, but are saved for good works. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Faith in Christ changes us from sinners into children of God. And when our identity is in Christ, our actions will begin to change by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Take a look at today's Bible passages, which is James 1, 19 through 27, and James 2, 14 through 26. What are some examples of good works that demonstrate faith in Christ? As you and I can read in James 2, verse 18, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works.'" Now, I'd encourage you again to read our Bible passages today in your Bible, James 1, 19 through 27, and James 2, 14 through 26, to help keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries, and it's listener supported. Just $5 a month goes a long way to help us keep Unlocked going strong into the future. And if you'd like to donate, you can do so by checking out unlocked.org or the Giving tab in the Unlocked app. Now be sure to check back tomorrow, because Emily is going to be telling us about battling insecurity. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Following is a program, Children's Bible Drama.
Hello, everyone. It's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. The Israelites had become disobedient to God, and this sin caused them to endure 20 years of great suffering at the hand of King Jabin of Canaan. However, the Israelites repented of their wickedness toward God and called upon Him to save them. Then God chose a female judge named Deborah and defeated the Canaanites and saved Israel. Deborah ruled Israel for 40 years, and the Israelites lived in peace without other nations attacking them. However, after Deborah the judge died, the Israelites left God again and began to serve other gods.
The god Baal of Canaan is a very good god. He lets us eat and drink whatever we want, and we can live in pleasure.
Yes, I wish we could always live like this. There are so many things Lord God tells us not to do. It's so exhausting.
The Israelites disregarded God's promise and word and gradually became like the Canaanites. Therefore, this time God strengthened the Midianites and made them rule over the Israelites.
Let's attack those Israelites and take everything away from them.
When the Israelites cultivated the farmland and scattered seeds, the Midianites brought the Amalekites and other eastern people and ruined all the crops. They also took all of Israel's sheep, cattle, and donkey.
Give those to me!
No! Please not these!
In this way, when the Israelites began to farm, the Midianites swarmed and ruined the crops and took away their livestock. When this became a frequent occurrence, the Israelites escaped the flatland and began to live in the mountain. Some lived in caves of the mountain and hid in places where nobody lived. It had been 7 years since they were under Midian's oppression. The Israelites couldn't endure any longer, so they began to call upon God again.
We did wrong towards you. Please save us.
When the people called upon God, God sent a prophet to the people.
Listen, Israelites. I have brought a message from God today. Listen carefully. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. This is why you are being punished.
It was then the Israelites realized what God had said and done for them. They sincerely repented of their wrongdoing and asked God for forgiveness. God saw their repentance and chose another judge to save Israel from the Midianites. God sent his angel to a person named Gideon who lived in Ophrah. That day, Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress.
I was barely able to gain this wheat. If the Midianites pass by and see this, they will surely take it away. I have to thresh this wheat secretly so no one will see.
God's angel came to the place where Gideon was. I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
Yeah. guys. I'm Allison. I'd like to invite you to participate in our program, Let's Read the Bible. You can record your own reading of Bible passages and send them to us, Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries. For more information, please call us at 602-866-8999. Thank you.
Following this program, lead devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's daily devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's daily devotional.
Pedaling the paddle boat was easy when all four of us were doing it, but I couldn't do it alone.
Just like it's hard to move the boat alone, it's hard to go through life alone too. Guess what? You're listening to the one and only Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Come on in and we'll get started. I hope you don't have very many bad days. But when you do, don't you feel a little bit better when your mom or dad sit down and listen with you and talk about how you're feeling? I know it always makes me feel better. That's an example of what Galatians 6:2 says we should do. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Our story today is called Pedaling Together. All together now, Eva called out. She and Grandpa sat in the back of a pedal boat while her sister Claire and Grandma sat up front. They started out all pedaling together. They were having a good time, but when Claire got tired, she lifted her feet. And for a while, Grandma kept pedaling, but then she stopped too. I need to give my knees a rest, said Grandpa a few minutes later. He stretched out his legs on the side of the boat, leaving Eva to pedal alone. This is way too hard now that you all quit, Eva muttered. She quit pedaling, and the boat soon drifted to a stop. They enjoyed drifting for a little while. Then Grandpa sat up straight. Pedaling is harder than it looks, but are you all ready to tackle it again? If we don't work together, we'll sit out here all day. Yeah, and I'm getting hungry, said Claire. She lifted her feet and began to pedal. The others did the same, and soon they were back at the boat dock. That was fun, said Eva as they unpacked their picnic lunch, except when I had to pedal alone. Grandpa smiled. That reminds me of a Bible verse. Galatians 6:2 says, Bear one another's burdens. Now, how can we do that? By everybody pedaling, said Claire. You're right, said Grandpa. That's certainly the way to do it when we're in a pedal boat. What are some other ways we can help bear people's burdens? Like for Mr. and Mrs. Parker, for example. They like us to visit since they're shut-ins, Claire said. They like the cookies we brought them, too. Eva nodded. And we can send cards and pray for them and for other people who are sick or don't get out much. The Parker's daughter often cooks for them and helps clean their house, said Grandma. I know she appreciates all the help others give her elderly parents. It would be hard for her to care for them all by herself, said Claire. Like having to pedal the boat all by myself, Eva said. Grandpa nodded. That's why Jesus tells us to bear one another's burdens, so we can show his love and care to one another and remember we're never alone. So what about you? Do you know someone who's having a hard time? Maybe they've been sick, or their parents have lost their jobs, or schoolwork is difficult. What can you do to help them bear that burden? Can you offer to help with homework, invite them to your house for dinner, tell them you're praying for them? Do what you can to care for them and show them God's love. Our key verse is found in the New Testament letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, verse 2.
Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
And our key thought for the day, help and care for others. I'm Zach. Thanks for joining me on Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's daily devotional.
I wasn't sure I wanted to sign Mrs. Miller's paper. Since then, I'd have to do whatever she said. But I'm glad I did.
She wanted you to trust her, and that's what you did.
Jesus wants the same thing. Hi, I'm Zach, and you're tuned in to listener-supported Keys for Kids. Are you afraid to trust your life to Jesus? When you give your life to Him, you might feel like you don't have control anymore, but that's actually a good thing. Jesus knows what's best for you, and when you trust in Him, He'll be the one to guide you. So why not give your life to Him, just like it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1? I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Our story today is called A Blank Piece of Paper. Who will volunteer to sign this? Asked Miss Miller, showing her Sunday school class a sheet of paper. What's it for? Asked one of the kids as several hands went up. Well, when you sign it, you'll be agreeing to do whatever I write on the paper, said Miss Miller. The hands promptly went down. It might be something hard or easy, Miss Miller continued. But whatever it is, you'll be glad you did it. Now, who will sign this? There were several giggles, but no volunteers. Isn't there anyone who trusts me? Miss Miller asked. Finally, Thea raised her hand. I'll sign it, Miss Miller. After Thea signed her name, Miss Miller took the paper and began writing. Everyone eagerly waited to see what she wrote. When she finished, she handed the paper to Thea. Go to the table in the corner, Thea read, and open the box you see there. Whatever you find inside is yours to keep. Thea jumped up and hurried to the table. Oh, wow, she exclaimed, pulling brand new packages of stickers, crayons, and a coloring book from the box. Thank you, Miss Miller. And thank you, Thea, for trusting me when no one else did, Miss Miller replied. She smiled at the class. When we give our lives to Jesus, it's a little like signing a blank sheet of paper, she told them. We say, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to you. You write the orders. When we do this, God blesses us. But before Thea could receive her reward, what did she have to do? Sign the paper, said Amy, even though she didn't know what it would say. And then she had to do what the paper said, Brent added. Miss Miller nodded. She had to trust me and she had to obey me, whether it was hard or easy. It's like that in our relationship with Jesus, too. We don't have to be afraid to hand our lives over to Him because He was willing to give up His own life to save us. We must trust Him and obey Him. As we obey His commands to us in the Bible and follow His leading in our lives, the rewards He promises are worth more than anything He asks us to give up. So how about you? Are you afraid to surrender your life to Jesus? Do you think He'll ask you to do something hard? That could be true, but the reward of trusting and obeying Him will outweigh anything He asks you to give up. Trust Him and do whatever it is you know He wants you to do. He was willing to give up His life for you so you could experience all of the good things that He has in store for you. Once again, our key verse is found in the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1.
I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God.
And our key thought for the day, trust and obey Jesus. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Here was Wednesday's daily devotional.
I'm sorry Mr. Bence's wife is in the hospital. I hope she gets better.
You never know what another person's going through. Someone that treats you badly may be going through a hard time. Welcome to the one and only Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith. As always, I'm Zach. Yesterday, when I was pulling into the parking lot at the store, another car cut right in front of me and took my space. I was tempted to get mad until I realized the gentleman in the car was upset. I'm not sure why he was crying, but I'm sure he didn't mean to cut me off. You never know what someone's going through. If someone is mean to you or says something rude, it might be because of something happening in their life. And that's exactly what our story is about. It's entitled, They're People Too. It's not fair, Lydia said as she followed her mother into the supermarket. She'd been complaining about a teacher almost nonstop since Mom picked her up after school. When Mr. Benson said we could have free time to study and I opened my history book, my pencil fell off my desk. I couldn't reach it from where I was sitting, so I stood up to get it, and he yelled at me. He didn't ask why I was standing up or anything. He just scolded me in front of the whole class. Lydia stopped abruptly when she spotted Mr. Benson in the produce section. The teacher greeted Lydia and her mother and then looked awkwardly at his cart. I'm not used to planning meals and doing the grocery shopping, he said, but my wife had surgery and is still in the hospital. I'm so sorry to hear that, Mom replied. How is she doing? Much better, but, Mr. Benson shrugged. Actually, the biggest challenge is getting two of my kids to daycare and the third to kindergarten each morning. Teaching, parenting, and trying to spend as much time as possible with my wife keeps me busy. After talking a few more minutes, Mr. Benson turned back to his cart and moved on. Mr. Benson looked very tired and worn out, Mom said as she and Lydia picked out some vegetables. Maybe that's why he overreacted and treated you unfairly today. Yeah, I never thought about a teacher having problems before, said Lydia. I guess I shouldn't have gotten so mad at him. Mom smiled. I've had the same kind of experience. There have been times when I felt someone acted unfairly toward me. I got upset about it, only to discover later that the person I was angry with was reacting to a serious personal problem. We need to remember that Jesus wants us to be patient with other people. He always shows us grace and understanding when we don't react well to stress in our lives, and we should do the same for others. We should be kind and help them through their difficulties instead of becoming angry with them. I'm not mad at Mr. Benson anymore, Lydia said. I'll try to remember that teachers are people too. So what about you? Have you ever been treated unfairly? It's easy to get angry when that happens, isn't it? But perhaps someone treated you badly because they had a serious problem that you don't know about. That doesn't excuse their behavior, of course, but it may help to explain why they acted that way. Jesus is always patient with us when we face difficulties, and he tells us to have patience with others and be forgiving. So instead of getting angry, show them grace instead. Our key verse is Ephesians 4:32.
Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you.
And our key thought, be understanding. I'm Zach. Thanks for spending time with Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
I like everything to just stay the same, even the color of my socks. But now we're moving to South America?
That is a really big change. But God will be with you even in South America. Are you the kind of person who doesn't like big changes in life? If so, stay tuned for today's Keys for Kids. I bet you've had to go through some big changes in your life. Maybe not as big as moving to a new continent, but big enough to be scary. How do you face new experiences when you're not sure what will happen? The best way is to remember that God is with you no matter what, and he'll help you get through everything. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." Our story for today is called Braving Change. Nate sighed as he pulled clothes out of his closet and put them in a box. He didn't like change. He didn't even like to change the color of his socks. He liked to do everything the same every day. But things weren't going to be the same anymore. He and his family were moving to South America to be missionaries. Looking at his empty closet, Nate felt very anxious and afraid. Everything that was familiar to him was quickly going to change. He fell across his bed and began to cry. Mom walked into the room and sat on the edge of his bed. Nate, are you okay? Nate, hugging his favorite stuffed toy, slowly turned over. Everything is going to be so different, and that makes me worried. Mom gave him a hug. I know it's scary to think about, but Jesus will be with us, just like he's with us here. He promises to never leave us. Mom smiled as Samson, their dog, came into Nate's room with a chew toy and dropped it at the foot of Nate's bed. Remember when we brought Samson home from the animal shelter and how scared he was? Nate nodded. All he wanted to do was hide in his kennel. Yes, but he soon learned it was safe and he didn't have to hide. He realized we cared for him, and pretty soon he was running around and playing with us. We can feel that same security. Knowing that we belong to Jesus and that he's always with us gives us the security to feel at home, no matter where we are. Mom grabbed Nate's Bible off the dresser and began to read to him. Deuteronomy 31:8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. After Mom read some more verses and said a prayer with him, Nate said, If Samson can be brave, then I can be brave too, because God will be with us wherever we go. A week later, Nate bounded onto the airplane with his mom and dad. He was ready for their new adventure, and he even wore a different color of socks. So how about you? Have you experienced a big change in your life? Did it make you feel worried and anxious? Change can be hard, but we can face it even when it's scary because Jesus promises to help us through it. He saved us and he won't ever leave us. Matthew 28:20, he tells us, And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't it awesome to know that? Our key verse is found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah chapter 41:10.
Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand.
And our key thought today, don't be afraid. I'm Zach. This is Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
I've been practicing for cheerleader tryouts for weeks, but Jessica said I'm too fat to be a cheerleader.
That was very wrong of her to say. God has made each one of us different to glorify Him. I'm Zach, and you're tuned in to listener-supported Keys for Kids. I have a friend named Daniel, and he grew up feeling like he was too chunky, and he hated how he looked for a long time. But do you know what God saw when he looked at my friend Daniel? God saw his precious child, who he made and loved. He didn't see Daniel as less valuable just because of how he looked. If you're having a hard time with how you look, and especially if you get mean comments from other kids, remember that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. He made you to be unique. Like it says in Psalm 139, verse 14, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our story today is called Not Cheerleader Material. Tracy, are you really trying out for cheerleading? Asked Jennifer. Yes, said Tracy. I'm so excited. Jennifer laughed. Cheerleaders are slim, Tracy, not chunky like you. Do your body a favor and sew your mouth shut. Tracy was stunned. She rushed home, bypassing her after-school snack and going straight to her bedroom. I have tons of homework, she told her mom before shutting the door. Later, her brother knocked. Dinner's ready, and you owe me. Mom made me set the table even though it was your turn. Sorry. Tell Mom I'm not hungry, okay? I ate a huge lunch. Okay. More tacos for me. Tracy groaned. Tacos, my favorite, she thought as her stomach growled. After dinner, Tracy's mom came into her room. Everything okay, honey? How were cheerleader tryouts? Tracy burst into tears. So her mom hugged her while she cried. Mom, tell me the truth, said Tracy. Am I fat? What? No, who said you were fat? Jennifer said I was too chunky to be a cheerleader. Is that why you skipped dinner? Asked Mom. Tracy nodded. Honey, lots of girls your age mistakenly believe they need to lose weight. Your body is still developing, so doing crazy things like skipping meals could mess with your health. Besides, weight isn't just about food. It's also about activity and height and bone structure. God created people with different body types, and they all point to His goodness. In Psalm 139:14, the psalmist says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. I don't feel marvelous, said Tracy. I wish God hadn't made me chunky. You're not chunky or fat, and it was very wrong for Jennifer to say that to you. You are marvelous because you're a daughter of the King. God made you, and Jesus died to save you. But since you're concerned, let's talk to Dr. Garcia. If she says you should slim down for your health, she can help you do it sensibly. But no more skipping meals, okay? Tracy nodded. Good, said Mom. Now come with me. I saved you a taco. So how about you? Do you ever feel self-conscious about your body or the way you look? Everyone does at some point. When that happens to you, remember that other people's opinions are nothing compared to God's view of you. He created you, and Jesus died and rose again so you could be His beloved child. He thinks that you're marvelous. And by the way, if someone is saying hurtful things about your body or the way you look, tell a trusted adult. Our key verse is Psalm 139:14.
I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well.
And our key thought for today, God made you wonderful. I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids.
Thank you.
Wasn't that another blasting time doing the daily devotionals? How much closer did you get to Jesus today? Make sure to share this amazing story with your family. Hope that this experience doesn't stop here, but continue to learn about Jesus' teachings by reading the Bible, praying to Jesus, and praising Him this week. Well then, I'll catch you later.